Today on Real Life Radio.
You're not going to heaven unless that statement by Jesus is true in your life. For you to get to heaven, you've got to have, so to speak, a ticket. You got to have a mark. You got to have a token. You got to have a pass, right? What is that pass? It's the Holy Spirit. He'll be in you.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 3, continues his series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. Nothing seems to stop Peter from living out his faith in Jesus Christ, not even his age. Peter is a lot older nowadays than when he wrote his first letter to the church. Still, he's showing a determination that we all can take a lesson from, to have a resilient, unwavering, and effective kind of faith that can stand up against the godless age in which we live. Peter knows, of course, how hard-headed we can be. That's why he tells us again and again about what matters most in our walk of faith. The church is not just being attacked from the outside, but there are those out there who will try to deceive us from within. They're called wolves in sheep's clothing, and their purpose is to rob us of what's true and take from us the liberty we have in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that if we are unstable in our walk of faith, we open ourselves up to empty promises of false teachers. Sort of like wells without water, promising prosperity, but in the end, delivering a life of cravings that can never be satisfied. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Let's stand to our feet. We're in 2 Peter chapter 2. Remember this, 2 Peter is not 1 Peter. 1 Peter is all about being anchored to what God provides. I love that. That's where you start. Being anchored to what God provides. So 1 Peter gives you tremendous arguments regarding the security of your salvation, regarding the power of the Word of God, and how God is with all those who are being abused and persecuted and outcast, because 1 Peter is written to the diaspora, those that were literally rendered homeless, jobless, family-less, because they had made a decision for Christ. 2 Peter is all about a combat faith. Now that you're in this world and you've been saved for, it'd be a minimum in Peter, from 1 Peter to 2 Peter, about 4 years' time, 2 to 4 years' time. Now it's time to get into that understanding that this is not a sprint. This is an onward plodding until we go see Jesus, either by death or by the Lord's return. And that whole experience, Peter is speaking to us about a combat faith. And we have been methodically going through 2 Peter chapter 2 slowly by design. When I say design, I think it's God's design, because the Lord knows I have all of my notes and I intend every week to finish those notes. 11 pages of notes today. And it never happens. It just, why? Because there's important things going on that he wants us to know about and how to exercise that combat faith. So I'm going to read the even-numbered verses, if you'll join with one another. Out of the New King James Version Bible, read the odd-numbered scriptures. If you don't have that version, just look to the screen. It'll be right there. And you know, we've been looking at this little theme, actually. It's come out of this. What you really need to know regarding our combat faith is regarding those that are out there. About those that are out there. Who's out there that are hostile toward your faith? Peter's going to tell us those who want to rob us of our faith, and those of us that are out, those who are out there who want to rob us of our liberty that is in Christ. What does that even mean, to have liberty in Christ? Father, we open up to this portion of Scripture, and we know that out of these last several weeks, you've been showing us, Lord, the perils and the dangers of these last days in which we live in. And part of that, Lord, in our hearts, who know you, who know the Bible, we kind of take comfort knowing that all of this spiritual deception and all of this stuff that's going on in the world around us is actually a harbinger of your near return. That's our hope. But also to the fact, Lord, we pray that at a time like this, truth may go out, quite frankly, Lord, turbocharged. And Lord, that it may rescue people that are open and willing to receive from you your truth. So, Father, we invite you by the power of your Holy Spirit to be at home here, reign here. Lord, be our teacher this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. 2 Peter. Peter opens up in this book and he's introducing his audience that has been now dispersed. It's amazing the region by which this letter was to be sent. Now, don't think for a moment that Peter wrote this letter and they all had to just wait around until it made its circuit. Peter wrote the letter and then there were copies made and it was distributed and sent out. In fact, as we sit here today, the most documented record of any writings in all of antiquity, there is nothing that comes close to the Bible. Did you know that? There are over 13,000, nearly 14,000 manuscripts of the scripture. I think the only thing that comes close out of the almost 14,000 manuscript evidences in manuscripts is Homer's Iliad, I think, has 613, something like that. The Bible, authoritative, the Bible, clear, direct, the Bible. You don't have to worry about believing in God and science. Don't ever think you have to decide between the two. In fact, when you look at the Bible and when you look at science, the authoritative power of the Bible tells us that the same God who wrote the Bible is the same God who invented science. So you need to remember that, students in school. You've got to combat faith, friends. You have to tiptoe around. This book is alive, it's living, it's powerful than any two-edged sword. The only way that you'll know that that's true is if you actually put it to use. And that's what Peter was all about. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter introduced himself by saying, Simon Peter, it's me, Simon. He says that he's a bondservant, you ought to circle that word, bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Listen to this, verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. This is awesome. Having escaped the corruption of this world through lust, Peter goes on to introduce. So as we look at this today, everything that we're going to look at this morning is rooted in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Peter talks about his experience. He's talking about his reality. He's talking about the power. He's talking about his confidence. And he's saying, this is who we are in Christ. This is who we are as believers. Based upon the death of Jesus Christ, based upon the authority of the Bible, based upon the fact that God transforms human beings. I think by now, if you've been coming to this church for any period of time, the last thing that we want to do here is to do church on a Sunday morning, and that's it. We are only here now because we have discovered that the Bible is what refuels and re-energizes us so that we might get right back out into the world that's before us, that we might live out this active faith. Church is for you and I to be refilled, replenished, strengthened, encouraged. And Peter today is continuing on in this warning to us about false ministries, false pulpits, and even false gospels. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no way that you and I can experience this salvation life that is our foundational beginning. Before Peter even gets into the militant actions of the faith, when I say militant, I mean evangelism, discipleship making, confronting the culture with light and life. He lays the foundation of the security of the believer. And we need to hear this. It's no stranger to you, but in John chapter 14, I love this. I love this. John 14, Jesus is getting ready to leave earth. He's going back home to heaven. And in John chapter 14, he's talking to the disciples. And in verse 16 through 18, listen to this. And by the way, as I read this, I need to ask you, is this true in your life? In John 14, verse 16, Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, another comforter," some of your Bibles translate. The word is parakletos. Kletos is to comfort. Para is to come alongside. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send to you another comfort that's going to be alongside you to be with you. And he says that he may abide with you forever. Notice, church, at the scripture, he says, I'm going to pray to the Father. Watch. The Father is going to give you another comforter. And the intent is that he will abide with you forever. Verse 17, he tells us who he is. He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him. They can't. The world cannot discern the Holy Spirit's work or presence. It neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is key. Listen, friends, listen. Before I finish this verse, you're not going to heaven unless that statement by Jesus is true in your life. For you to get to heaven, you've got to have, so to speak, a ticket. You got to have a mark. You got to have a token. You got to have a pass, right? What is that pass? It's the Holy Spirit. He'll be in you. And then this to me blows it up. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. By the way, in those few verses is the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, if I don't leave, it's not good for you. I've got to go. But when I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you, the believer. Oh, yeah. And if the Holy Spirit's with you, he says, I will not leave you orphaned. I'll come to you. Today, Jesus Christ lives in your life by virtue of the fact of the Holy Spirit indwelling the life of every true believer. And that's the question today. For us to make sure that we're not deceived by these false teachers, these charlatans, these ones who are out to beguile people, who teach liberty, but in fact it's actual bondage, who go about conducting themselves one way on TV or one way in front of people, but they live a lewd and corrupt life in secret. The deceivers. How are you going to know? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will use the Word of God. One more verse before we get going. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. We all need this. The Bible says, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. I want to submit to you today, we're living in those days right now. Everything that's going on around us indicates to me that we're living in those days. These are the latter days. By the way, the word perilous times, it's the word that means to just ever so slowly shave down a log into a toothpick until it's not even a toothpick. Do you feel like that? Don't you feel like the world is just grinding on you? I hear people say all the time, I get it. I understand the emotion. It's just that God's not telling me to do this, but people tell me all the time, I can't take it here. I'm moving. And by the way, there are more people moving out of California than all of the other 50 states. California, there's the great departure. The only bummer is I wish we could send all the bad people away and all the good people say. But that's okay. God knows what he's doing. Here's the deal. I get that. The reason why you feel that way is because the perilous times are wearing you down. But God may be calling you to stand. And so the Bible tells us there that these perilous times will come. Verse 2, men will be lovers of themselves. Is that true or false? You see that on TV? Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Did you see the latest blasphemer now on CNN? Did you hear what he said? Don Lemon. You know who Don Lemon is? He says Jesus wasn't perfect. Jesus sinned. Where do you get that from? That's blasphemy. No, the Bible says Jesus is God and he's sinless. And by the way, he's the only one that's ever been sinless. That didn't make him God. He was God before he came. If you want to be sinless, that's how you're going to have to pull it off too. You're going to have to be God to come on down and do it. There's only one, and it's Jesus Christ. But anyway, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, glad that's not going on these days. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, my goodness. Slanders without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And if you think that's enough, it gets worse. This is the worst of the worst. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. The power of godliness is the cross. The power of godliness is the empty tomb, the resurrected Christ. They deny that. All the cults around the world deny that. Did you know that? They all deny it. There'll be those that will have all of these appetites, either externally or internally. They have them. But verse 5 tells us that they live and act in the trappings of looking religious, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And then the Bible's very subtle. It says, from such people turn away. The word means run from them. That's the command of Scripture. Run from them. God has a plan. Church, very quickly, we're going to run over where we've been. This whole segment, we're talking about you and I knowing about who's out there in our day, in our life, and how are we going to navigate these waters? Remember, verses 10 to 14 warned us that those that are deceivers are proud. The first genesis of their actions is rooted in pride. They're proud. It's all about them. It's all about their name. It's all about their place. Constantly elevating themselves. And we saw three things about that. They will prove to be authoritarian. Verse 10. They will be without feeling. They'll have no empathy. They have no feeling. It's almost like they're serial killers. And maybe they are when it comes to the soul of a man or a woman. They're deceivers. They're without feeling, authoritative. And then we saw in verses 11 to 14 last time that they're given over. God gives them up to their vile passions, the Bible says. We're living in those days. In technicolor, I might add. Last week, we saw the argument, second argument, verses 15 to 16, and it's the fact that they are those who are forsaken. Tragic, isn't it? Verse 15, we learn that they're deceived. They're not only deceived, but they deceive them of those that are around them. We saw also that they're compromised. They are deceived, they're compromised. And in verse 16, we learn that they are, in fact, judged. The Bible warns and tells us that these who go about to deceive you. Remember, maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. You say, what's the big deal, man? Read a lot of heavy stuff already. I didn't know. I thought the Bible was just like a bunch of sweet stuff. Hey, this is sweet stuff. Here's the sweet stuff. This is God watching out for your soul. I mean, think about it. Think about if somebody insults your kid. You know, what if some adult takes a swing at your kid? What are you going to do? Pray about it? The Bible says if you do not provide for your home, you're worse than an unbeliever. If somebody tries to steal your kid, what do you do? Well, I'm going to just leave that in the hands of the Lord. No, man, you turn into a mama bear in an instant. Listen, Peter here is being led by the Holy Spirit to announce and to declare that God takes your soul seriously. And if some false prophet or some false ministry comes along to try to steal you away, God takes that eternally serious. Which leads us to today's argument, verses 17 to 19, that those that are out there that are dangerous to us is the fact that they are destructive. Write that down. They are destructive, these false leaders. And we're going to see just how in a moment. Verse 17 tells us, number one, that they are wells without water. Wells without water. They are incapable of refreshment. They do not give out. Now, people, listen, these are people cloaked in ministry trappings. They may not believe in God at all. Or they could believe in God, but it's not a biblical definition of God. They may be, listen, very spiritual, but not true. And the Bible warns us right from the beginning, and listen, all of you, each of us need to judge those that influence us in our lives. The Bible warns right here, they are wells without water. What a remarkable statement. It's pretty graphic, isn't it? By the way, at the time of this writing in the first century, which had been like this for millennia beforehand, when you see a well, you know what we're talking about, a well? You know, we live in the 21st century. What's a well? The well, when you go to your kitchen, you turn it on. That's what we think a well is. But when you see a well, number one, it implies that you're in a dry place, and it implies that you're thirsty. That's why you'd care about a well. Oh, look, there's a well. What do you care unless you're thirsty? Hard for us to relate to this. Imagine if we were all in Death Valley today, where it's going to be 117 today. Imagine we all go to Death Valley, and we get out, we have a little water, and we're going to walk 20 miles. Hey, listen, when your water is done, if up ahead you could see what looks like a well, would you get excited? Absolutely. In fact, when you see that well and your step even picks up, oh boy, let's go. Hurry up, pick it up, there's a well. And you get to that well, and you know, we've all done this, right? There's nothing worse, especially when you're a kid. You get a rock, you hang over the hole of the well, and you drop it, and what do? You listen. And when it goes, that's not a happy sound. What do you want to hear? Splash. You want to hear water. The Bible says false prophets, false teachers, false ministries, they got all the looks. They've got all the things that can spin the emotion into action and get you going for 60 minutes. Now, there's nothing to them. They cannot refresh you. Our world today is covered with people who have been inoculated against the true gospel and inoculated against true spirituality. They've been given something of an injection in some religious experience, but they were never given any life-giving water. They went to wells that had no water. And you hang around a well like that and you begin to think that this is a definition of a well. It has nothing in it but a sandy bottom and I can get nothing from it. And the danger that Peter's been warning, and think about it, God's been warning us for 2,000 years. Ministry, there's ministry that kills people because it offers them nothing that can give life. We send probes out into space looking for water with hopes that there'll be life. Are they not looking for a well? If you think about it, we found a teaspoon of water on Mars. What are you so excited about? There could be life. What about your soul on the inside of you? Are you refreshed? Is that helper, the Holy Spirit, who was alongside, is he in you now?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 3. Thanks for joining us today. What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, are you intentional about what's going on around you? Peter himself often noticed what others would overlook. We can't in good faith turn a blind eye to what's happening in our world these days. So much is changing in our culture, and we need to talk about it. Many of you already follow Pastor Jack on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. But did you know Pastor Jack has a podcast called Real Life Talk? Simply go to jackhibbs.com, click on that media tab. Once you're there, click on podcasts. Now you can stay informed through interviews with special guests who are leaders in their field, along with episodes that give a biblical perspective on social and cultural issues facing our country today. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.